Good morning, I'm Jim Packard, sitting in for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Cursed pigmen are murdering dairy princes, maverick artists whose fecund inventiveness spills into their surroundings, ancient puzzles, UFOs, haunted inns and houses, a menagerie of monsters and, yes, little green men. All of these things and more are why Strange Wisconsin had to be written. We're going to be talking with Linda Godfrey of Elkhorn, Wisconsin, a writer, illustrator, and investigator of offbeat and strange stories, including unknown or mystery animals, and her latest work is Strange Wisconsin, More Badger State Weirdness, which is published by Trails Books. And Linda, thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here, Jim. Thank you.
If they're aware of you, they're probably aware because of the book Weird Wisconsin, which you co-authored with Richard Hendricks and came out about 3 years ago, did it not?
That is exactly correct, right.
And as I understand it, in your investigation of the stories were included, due to space limitations, much was left out of the book that needed to see the light or the twilight of day, and hence that's where Strange Wisconsin came from.
That's right. Plus, many people wrote me things, or I discovered other things on my own, you know, after the Weird Wisconsin book was printed.
Mm-hmm.
Because whenever you have something come out, it sort of sparks interest in people, and they get back to you. And I realized that I had another book's worth of odd items.
A multifaceted jumble of homegrown eccentricity to arrange, as I understand the way you put it.
Right.
So how did you assemble this book? Did you do it by topic, or did you do it in some other fashion?
Well, the Weird Wisconsin book, which was published by Barnes & Noble, followed kind of a set pattern in that it was arranged by subject matter. There was, haunted things, cemetery items, large road signs. But I had a little bit more flexibility this time, and I noticed that people, when they were standing in line to get their book signed or whatever, would be just furiously looking for things that were near their hometown. And when I would do radio shows, people would ask, well, what's weird about Appleton, or what's weird around Platteville? And so it occurred to me that it might really be a good idea to arrange things alphabetically by city, so that people could look up the nearest town to them and find what was geographically close.
And I just opened to any page, and it came up to Hayton in Calumet County, where tavern-turned-protest folk art is the story. Talk about that.
That was something that I was just happened to catch it as I was driving by on my way to somewhere else. I like to take the back roads. It often pays well to come upon things that you don't normally see. And this is something that a man who just had one of those bents of mind that leaned toward protesting and vigorously defending himself, he had it in his head that a lot of corporations were trying to take his property there and wanted to buy it for certain purposes. So he just decorated the entire building, which historically had been used for many, many decades, over a century, I think, as a tavern, and filled it with little odds and ends. There's a photo of a tiger. There are hubcaps. There's one of those paintings of big-eyed children, enigmatic signs that say things like, do you want milk with your oatmeal and cream in the coffee? But it never explains anything else about it. And it just made this really interesting assemblage, and I stopped and took photos. Unfortunately, it's one of those fleeting things that was really cool that it was there for a number of years, but eventually these things tend to be taken down. The property gets bought and sold. The new owners aren't so enamored of having protest folk art decorating the building, so I was glad that I was able to get a good record of it while I could.
So that former tavern dance hall has been remodeled into something else?
Yes, unfortunately, the wonderful things around it have been cleaned up, and it's kind of the way things go with strange personal habitat,
mm-hmm.
You know, because things don't tend to stay in the same hands of ownership, and it's very seldom that you get a new owner who really appreciates, you know, what the former one has done with, you know, large statues covered with ceramic shards or whatever it may be.
We're talking with Linda Godfrey, who is the author of Strange Wisconsin, More Badger State Weirdness, published by Trails Books. You have come up with a number of icons to identify several general sort of categories. Let's talk about those, starting with the bizarre byways.
Yeah, I put these together and drew the little symbols to go with them just to kind of help people put things into a context as they read along so that it didn't seem like an entire mishmash, since the cities all have different things. The bizarre byways refer to anything that you might spot along the road, daytime, nighttime, from highway spooks or the legendary hitchhikers that vanish to giant fiberglass road statues.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it could be maybe a roadside, just anything that you might spot along the road, even weird animals occasionally.
And then campfire tales?
Campfire tales are things that fall into that category of legends and lore, things that people might talk about while they are just sitting around the campfire and trying to scare one another.
Graveyard gate.
That refers to cemetery lore, strange tombstones, and spectral figures and the legends about them, the things that cannot seem to leave the living alone.
Freaky fauna.
That's a big one in my book. I'm really a strange creature person, and it refers to sea and lake monsters, of which Wisconsin has a very rich tradition, the upright canine thing, some people call a werewolf, that I call the Beast of Bray Road. And Bigfoot, we have a lot of Bigfoot sightings in this state, even down to pigmen and goatmen. It's really quite a menagerie.
Haunted habitats.
Haunted habitats refers to any place that is reputed to have some kind of a resident spook or ghost. And this doesn't necessarily have to be an old, spooky-looking house. In Wisconsin, we have a haunted Walmart. We have haunted buildings of all types. So it really runs the gamut.
You have a section or a category of unconventional people. I can think of one, and that would be a man that most people know as Orange, who sits on the library mall in Madison at the University of Wisconsin.
Yes.
And plays the piccolo. He's dressed all in orange.
Yes, and I was told about him, and I think I've even spotted him, but I was never able to really catch up to him to take a picture for the book. You know, there were several other people. The man who dresses up as St. Vincent Lombardi, you know, at Packers Field was another one.
Mm-hmm.
But for Madison, I did get in something about Tunnel Bob, who actually lived for many years in the tunnels that run under Bascom Hill and was paid by university officials to go in there and change the light bulbs so that their own staff wouldn't have to do it.
He's kind of an Ichabod Crane figure, very skinny, very tall, and I don't know if he still is around. I haven't seen him walking out of doors, and I don't get a chance to get into the steam tunnels to see whether he's there or not. But do you have any word on...
Last I heard, I think he's still alive, but I think that they have limited his access to the steam tunnels these days for different reasons from what my source was able to tell me.
We're talking with Linda Godfrey, writer, illustrator, and investigator of Offbeat and Strange Stories, the author of Strange Wisconsin, More Badger State Weirdness. It's published by Trails Books. One other category would be art and architecture amok.
This is one of my favorites, because I have an art degree and I'm really into our strange and outsider artists. They are not all naive and uneducated. Some of them have even been college teachers, but they all share this desire to transform their personal properties and habitats with the landscape of their own creation. And we have just a stellar complement of these in this state. There's one gentleman near Madison who is really known nationwide. He's in the American Museum of Visionary Arts in Baltimore. And he actually has also seen a UFO. So he's interesting for the book in more than one way.
And puzzles of the past.
Puzzles of the past are things that refer to items like our wonderful animal-shaped effigy mounds. Wisconsin, not many people realize this. They sort of take them for granted, but Wisconsin has, I think the figure is somewhere around 98% of all the animal-shaped ancient effigy mounds in the world, other than the Serpent Mound in Ohio and a few that lie over onto bordering states. We have them. They're in Wisconsin for some strange reason. And it's things like this that we try to delve into and lay out for people to consider.
Now, you say that the stories are fact-checked as thoroughly as possible, but that legends and ghost tales that are often things that are alive in their own right and may change in the telling of the story, addresses, phone numbers, road names may vanish like march lights in a storm.
That does happen. And, you know, I've had it happen where I think it was I've done this for Michigan, too. I wrote Weird Michigan and I'm in the process of finishing Strange Michigan. And I had a lady from Michigan call me up and wanted to discuss a story about a library ghost. And this was a wonderful tale that somebody local had told me, and they had the legend all told their own way. And she said, well, no, that person isn't right. The legend goes this way and this way. And who's to say which person has the legend exactly correct? Because every time somebody tells it, they embellish, they change it a little bit. Usually, if it's a blue lady or a white lady, those things stay the same, but little facts can change. And it's kind of like that Hayton protest art tavern that we talked about earlier. It's there for years. Everybody knows about it. They drive by it every day. They take it for granted. And then the next day, a for sale sign goes up, and before you know it, the whole thing is cleaned away.
Talking with Linda Godfrey, and if you'd like to join the conversation with questions about things that you are wondering about in your locale or elsewhere in the Badger State, the number in Madison is 263-1890. Otherwise, it's toll-free at 800-642-1234. And, of course, our email address is talk@wpr.org. Talking about strange Wisconsin, more Badger State weirdness, and we'll take some calls in just a moment here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Jim Packard in for Kathleen Dunn. Kathleen will be back with us tomorrow. We'll be happy to see her, and we'll take some calls if you'd like to join in. The number in Madison, 263-1890. Otherwise, it's toll-free at 800-642-1234. Your first listing is for Abbotsford in Clark County and the Hawkeye Dairy.
That's a really classic roadside sculpture where you have what I call the ginormous ice cream cone with sprinkles. And it's kind of clever because in order to construct this thing, it had to be, and hold it upright, it had to be supported by something. So they have the ice cream cone supported by a couple of large wedges of cheese, which, you know, if you think about that, it's just kind of funny. So I love that piece of roadside art in Abbotsford.
Let's go to Chris in Blue Mounds. Chris, hi. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just kind of curious about the area here because we have the mounds. State Park here.
Right.
And then we have there's Cave of the Mounds.
Yeah.
And I guess it was kind of a area that was settled early. And I've heard about a Ridgeway ghost. Ridgeway isn't far from here.
Yeah, the Ridgeway ghost is actually pretty famous. It's been talked about by a number of Wisconsin authors on that subject. And it actually was covered in the first book, Weird Wisconsin. And it's something that's pretty well known. I'm trying to just kind of check through here. I'm not recalling the exact details of it. There are so many ghosts in both of these books together. Plus, I have ghosts rattling around in my head from the whole state of Michigan as well. But I do know that the Ridgeway ghost is very well known, and you'll find that documented in a number of books on Wisconsin legends and ghost tales.
And you say that Cave of the Mounds was included in your first book?
The Cave of the Mounds was not. The Cave of the Mounds is a wonderful geological feature. It's very interesting. But to my knowledge, there wasn't anything really strange or weird about it. You know, there's sort of a weirdometer that I have to apply to all of these things. Mm-hmm. And there are many things about Wisconsin's geography and history that are fascinating and interesting and wonderful, but they have to have an element of oddness to them to make these books.
Chris, thanks a lot. Appreciate your call. And let's go to Kathy in Fish Creek. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I have one time traveling in north central Wisconsin, I came across a site in the middle of nowhere where somebody had created a probably 30, 40, 50 mosaic cement sculptures.
And oh, you're probably,
do you know what that is?
Are you thinking of Phillips?
Yes.
And the Wisconsin Concrete Park?
Yes.
Maybe that's what it is. There's a ship. And that was my question. I wanted to know where it was because I've forgotten it. I'd like to go back, and I don't know where this is.
Well,
but it was all kinds of sculptures of, he'd take little bits of ceramic or pottery or whatever in this
right.
thing. Yeah. Where is that?
Well, we have a couple of different ones. Now, if you were way up north in Price County, then that would have been the Wisconsin Concrete Park up in Phillips. And that's really well known, and he has larger than life cowboys, Indians, past presidents, horses, teams of oxen. It's quite the large area, and it's been very lovingly restored and maintained by a private foundation. And all started by a tavern owner named Fred Smith, who concocted all of this after he retired. But you're mentioning the ship makes me also think of another one called the Peace Park, which is over, really more over in the southwestern part of the state. And that one is a little bit smaller. This German couple recreated a large replica of the ship that they came over on, and just has kind of like a little grotto. And I don't think there are 40 or 50 sculptures. There's a tree with monkeys on it. Oh, no, I'm confusing that with Nick's. There's another one, too. There are quite a few of these, actually, but three major ones in the state.
I don't think it was either one of those because there were at least 40, and one was a ship, but I would say the ship was maybe 12 feet long, but it wasn't, you know, huge. And it was just fascinating because we were in the middle of nowhere, and suddenly here's this little group of these fantastic sculptures. And it was wonderful, and I'd love to find it again.
Well,
maybe another caller knows where it is.
The one with the ship, the Wagner Peace Monument, is in Cataract, which is north of Sparta in western Monroe County. And they do have the ship that's sitting right out that you would see, which is why I'm thinking that it's that one. The other one that I had mentioned, Nick's Grandview, is near Hollandale off of Highway 39. I don't know if either of those ring a bell. The one up in Phillips is in Price County. There's also Prairie Moon Sculptures. He doesn't have a ship, though. Prairie Moon Sculptures is between Fountain City and Cochrane, way over along the Mississippi.
Hmm. No, I don't think it was any of those. We were traveling from St. Paul, but we were going on country roads, and somewhere between St. Paul and Door County.
Well, you could well have run into, I'm betting that it's the Wagner Peace Monument in Cataract in western Monroe County,
mm-hmm.
because you would have probably gone, if you're taking back roads, you very plausibly could have gone through that.
Okay,
because
thank
you. It's the only one I know of with the big ship.
Okay, thank you.
All
you're
right.
Welcome.
Kathy, thank you very much. And if you have something to add to that, or if you have a question about your own town or city, then give us a call in Madison at 263-1890 or email at talk@wpr.org. Our toll-free number, 800-642-1234. Our guest is Linda Godfrey, who is a writer, illustrator, and investigator of offbeat and strange stories, the author of Strange Wisconsin, More Badger State Weirdness, published by Trails Books. That just came out last year, did it not?
Yes, it did, very, very recently. And it's just been a lot of fun driving around and looking for these things. I did want to mention real quickly, Jim, I don't think I mentioned the name of that visionary artist before. His name is Ellis Nelson, and he's from Muscadet, in case any of your listeners were wondering about that.
All right. So lines are open. If you have a question about your town, let's talk about Barron and Barron's seat of government.
This, I think, is funny because it embodies with an actual object, sort of a pun. You know, you talk about the seat of government, but in Barron's case, they're talking about an actual seat. And it occurred back in settler days when people were having a fight over where Barron County's actual seat or home base was going to be. And the county clerk took a hollowed-out log seat, and he actually had carved things on it that said the date and the names, and he stuffed the county records inside and hiked from Rice Lake to Barron. And he set the seat down there and said, well, the county seat is here, so Barron is now the county seat. And they still have that in the courthouse. It's beat up and very worn-looking, and occasionally you can get a county clerk to sit on it and pose for you if you ask nicely.
But just not something that you can just come in and sit down and enjoy.
No, you really need to ask for it. I think they bring it out from time to time or move it around. So if you may not see it immediately, you might have to ask somebody about it.
All right, Linda, let's take some more calls. Let's
sure.
go to Neil in Racine. And Neil, what's on your mind?
I often take drives around in southern and central Wisconsin, and I often go through Juneau. And on the north side of Juneau, there's a small cemetery with small unmarked stones, and they look very like the graves are quite small. I've often wondered, what the heck was that?
Juneau, well, that sounds like one cemetery I may not have been in, and there are plenty, although I've been in a lot. It's on the north side of Juneau, you say?
Yeah, and I can't remember the highway or the street or the road it's on, but...
Okay, I'm going to write that down and put it on my list of cemeteries to get to, and maybe somebody listening will know what is in that. Perhaps it's a children's cemetery. I have encountered a few country churches and places where they have a separate little cemetery for children. Where...
I'm not sure it's for children, but the graves do look small. Mm-hmm. The headstones look small, look close together.
It's probably very old.
Probably.
I would imagine, yeah, from the sound of it.
I've never stopped to read it or anything, but it's always fascinated me.
How interesting. Well, I will have to make a special trip over to Juneau and check that one out. Thank you so much.
Neil, thanks for the call. Appreciate hearing from you. And let's go to Susan in La Crosse next. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
Hi, Susan.
I didn't know if you have seen, it's a dinosaur sculpture, and it's right off of Interstate 90 between West Salem and La Crosse. And it's about 20 feet high. It looks like it's made out of bones. I have no idea what it's made out of, but it's surrounded by a fence.
Dinosaur sculpture made out of bones does not ring a bell. I wonder if that's fairly recent or has it been there for a while?
It's been there, at least 10 years.
Really? Huh. Well, see, this. I might have to start a third book because I'm always finding out things that, and I have lots of stuff on La Crosse, you know, from the Paul Hefty's bottle art, the man bat, the statue of Hiawatha that's there in the river, mm-hmm. and not that dinosaur bone sculpture. So I'm going to have to get over there between West Salem, and I actually have something from West Salem, too. We have an author's grave, and there is a giant cheese mouse that looks over the highway.
Giant what?
I call them cheese mice because they are giant mice
that
sell cheese. They usually have a chunk of cheese, and I kind of collect those, too. And there's one, I think it's the one wearing a cowboy hat that stands over the highway not too far from there.
This one is right next to the highway, so you can see it when you go by.
And you're not sure which highway?
It's Interstate 90.
On I-90, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, I will go and check that one out, definitely.
Okay.
Susan, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And speaking of West Salem, you've got the ghost of Hamlin Garland there.
Yeah, you know, and it's kind of and another one of our homegrown writers that just has a spookiness factor to it that is... fun. It's fun because you can go and actually visit his house. It's a historic place, and the cemetery is not too far. You can go and actually visit his grave, and people do say that the house is still haunted with him. So
You report that his final book was called The Mystery of the Buried Crosses, and that it documents his use of a medium and spirit voices to carry out a strange project.
That was a very odd book, and an odd thing to be his final work. I've seen this book, checked it out from the library. I've been trying to find one to buy myself, but he was telling people that he actually had a medium who would channel and tell him where to dig, and then, according to Garland, he would dig at this spot and would find these mysterious objects. One of them was a cross, a very Christian-looking cross, except that it was covered with carved monkey heads. And he was hoping that by digging up these objects, told him by a medium, that he could prove that the human personality survives death. And I don't know that he really proved that, but he did seem to have a lot of fun digging up these weird objects. And you just have to wonder if they were planted by somebody, if this so-called medium had conveniently buried something and then would go and tell him where to dig, and he would dig them up, you know, what he was thinking there at the end of his life. You know, after being known for books like Son of the Middle Border and, you know, winning the Pulitzer Prize, that his life ended up on such a strange note.
At the Ghost of Hamlin Garland, and that's part of the book of Strange Wisconsin, More Badger State Weirdness, published by Trails Books and authored by Linda Godfrey. Let's go to Keith in Cumberland next. Hi, Keith.
Hi. My question regards the so-called Cumberland Monster. In front of one of our bars on the main street is a wood carving, chainsaw carving, which I thought for some time was a bear. And then on late television, sometime this winter, lo and behold, there was a story on the Cumberland Monster. And two individuals were interviewed, one a woman and her son, who were so frightened by this creature that they left their house in the woods and moved into town. And when another hunter who said he had it in its sight, but it looked too human to shoot. So any more word on the Cumberland monster, perhaps in the book?
Now, Cumberland, let's see, I'm not looking at my map. I'm trying to think, is this, I'm thinking that the bar that has that carved creature.
The spot or something like it's called.
In front of it, yeah, I'm thinking that that's related to a sighting that happened some years ago where a man was delivering newspapers in the morning, claimed to have seen a Bigfoot that was carrying a goat-sized piece of carcass. It got reported as being carrying a goat, but it actually, I've interviewed this man and have even taken his picture standing in the exact same spot. His family, a couple of his family members have also had experiences with Bigfoot. I had to promise him that I wouldn't use his name in public or anything. He's gotten very touchy about it. Yeah, although it's really known actually nationally because this story was reported so widely when it happened. But as far as I can tell, it sounds like a classic Bigfoot, and there have been other people who have reported seeing it in that area. And it could still be there.
Right. Yeah, well, I live out in the woods north of Cumberland, so I watch the snow for tracks, but so far no show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you ever do see the tracks, please give me a call.
We will do. Thank you,
Keith,
much.
Thank you very much. We appreciate hearing from you in Cumberland. A couple of emails to take care of. Jamie says that St. Vince is also a prison guard where I used to work at Oak Hill Correctional in Oregon. He's very approachable and friendly, and you would also be very interested on the hauntings of Oak Hill Correctional, which used to be a girls' school until about 1970, and she believes that Oak Hill was in the book Haunted Wisconsin. Do you recall that?
That could be. I have that book, and it's not ringing a bell right offhand, but so many of these old girls' schools and old asylums, that sort of thing, are often reported haunted, that it would not surprise me if it were in that probably entirely right about that. And I will go and look it up and hopefully get a hold of St. Vince for my next effort.
And Jan said, I'd like to know if you have any reports of weird, in quotes, activity associated with Nagawicca Lake in Delafield. Some years ago, I observed something I don't want to detail, but put a notice in the Waukesha Freeman looking for others who may have seen it, got no response. Any reports of weird activity, Nagawicca Lake?
Not right off the top of my head. I don't believe that it's in either of the books, although I continually forget what I have in my own books. but right off the top of my head, that doesn't ring any bell, but I would love it if she would send me an email, and I keep people anonymous, you know, if they like that. I don't have to tell people's names as long as I have a name I can give my editor to prove that I didn't make it up.
And how do they reach you?
The easiest way is to go to one of my websites, either beastofbrayroad.com, or weirdmichigan.com, or uncannyradio.com. And just send an email wherever it says to send something to the editor or report a story. I don't have any assistance. Everything comes to me.
All right. So beastofbrayroad.com would be a good way for someone to get in touch with you.
Right.
And let's go to Steve in Racine next. Hi, Steve.
Hi. I was traveling about 16 years ago in the Albany area, southwestern Wisconsin, and I ran into somebody's front yard that had some very macabre sculptures in it. I was wondering if you knew anything about this.
Albany. I'm wondering, what else is near Albany? Can you tell me what the sculptures
look
like?
Yes, we were going from Monroe to Albany, that whole area. It was a graveyard sculpture where people were coming out of the ground, skeletons, and some people were trying to pull some in. Some figures were trying to push some others back in the graves. It was very macabre.
Wow, that is very odd. I know I had one churchyard sculpture where people were coming out of the ground, you know, like on the Resurrection Day, and there was a giant statue of Christ.
But nothing like that.
I didn't put that in. There's kind of a fine line between, you know, just religious expression and what some people might consider odd. But this one is not ringing a bell. This sounds indeed very macabre. And you said it was near Albany. Do you remember the road?
We stayed at a bed and breakfast in Albany, and we took one of the main roads out of Albany, and we're driving around. And that's the general vicinity of particular the southwest state part of the state in general. We did want to go back, but we never found it again.
Really?
Yeah.
You never found it again? Well, that it must be really out of the way then. I would love to see that. I'll have to go start driving around Albany because that sounds like one that I've somehow missed. There are lots of things over in that southwestern side of the state, you know, Nick's Grandview and the Wagner Peace Monument that I mentioned by Sparta. But I don't remember anything that sounds like this.
All right.
Well, maybe some callers will call it in because I really would like to see that again.
All right, Steve. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate hearing from you. If you'd like to join the conversation with a question or a comment for Linda, all you have to do is pick up the telephone and call us in Madison at 263-1890 or toll free at 800-642-1234. Lots of people have been emailing, and we appreciate those at talk@wpr.org. I'm Jim Packard. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Jim Packard in for Kathleen Dunn, talking with Linda Godfrey of Elkhorn, who is a writer, illustrator, and investigator of offbeat and strange stories. And we're talking about Strange Wisconsin, More Badger State Weirdness, published by Trails Books. We got an update from Jamie, who is the former prison guard from Oak Hill. Legend at the prison is that a girl from the old girls' school locked herself into her room and started a mattress on fire on top of herself and burned alive. Prison guards have reported seeing the girl in a few cottages and the school with a dress on and a fuzzy, bright aura around her. Guards have actually quit their job because they were so spooked and didn't want to return to their post. Even a guard who was very religious, did not believe ghosts were on earth, saw her. He was so shocked he could hardly speak of it. So there's more to Oak Hill.
That's great. That's really just the kind of legend that I like to collect and document, too. You know, there are so many elements. It's amazing how often it's a young girl that kills herself in some way and then reappears. It's a motif that we have occurring over and over and over.
Let's go to the phones and to Mark next in Genesee. Hello, Mark.
Hi. The weirdness and strange things that are in Wisconsin, and you also mentioned in Michigan, I'm just wondering whether this is very typical for almost every state. Do we have some hallmark on weirdness here, or can you go to almost any place in the country and find similar stories of odd, weird, and otherworldly type phenomenon that those states also have? I'm just wondering if we're...
We're blessed.
If we're blessed, right, in some special way, or whether this is something that's more common.
I do think that we are blessed, we in Michigan, but it is also true that you can go to just about anywhere and dig up. Wherever people go, weird things happen. And the weird series of books that Barnes & Noble published is eventually encompassing most of the states, and they've done a great job. Other authors that they've hired have done a great job digging up things in Pennsylvania and New England and California. Florida is a great favorite of mine. However, I must add that Wisconsin was one of the first five states that they identified as actually weird enough to write a book about. So we have a rep for that, and Michigan was in the second tier. And having spent or covered 5,000 miles I put on my car driving around Michigan, I can say that it can give Wisconsin a very good run for its money in terms of strange and odd things.
Mark, thanks very much. We appreciate hearing from you. And lots of calls coming in. We'll go to Doug in Madison. Hi, Doug.
Hi. Towards Springfield Corners is a cemetery, and in that cemetery has a black cross. And on that cross it says murder, M-U-R-D, period. And I was just wondering if you knew anything of the story on that.
It says M-U-R-D,
period. I don't believe there's a name or anything with it.
Uh-huh.
As I know the story, a gentleman back in the late 1800s was walking to Milwaukee, and he was robbed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about all I really know, if that's even the story.
And this is the Springfield Corner that's kind of south of Madison?
Northwest of Madison.
Northwest of Madison,
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
If it's the one I'm thinking of, it seems to me that that is the cemetery where an alleged werewolf was buried. He was a German itinerant who was suspected by his neighbors of being a werewolf. And they couldn't ever quite prove it, but his grave is there in that little cemetery. That's the one that I'm thinking of.
Oh, but I didn't hear that story at all, but that's interesting.
Yeah, but it's not the same as the person who was walking in the 1800s. I think it was very dangerous to walk in the 1800s. There are a number of Wisconsin murders that happened to people who were just traveling. You know, it's a hazardous thing to do in those days.
Doug, thanks for the call, and maybe someone will call in and shed a little more light on your story. Kevin is next in Tomahawk. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
Good morning. I was wondering if you ever heard of a story about Pills. It was a gangster hideout in Tomahawk, and years ago we were looking at buying it in the late 80s. And we were up in the living quarters and looked out over the lake, and between my wife and I was a lady in a wedding gown. And It wasn't scary or nothing, and we didn't say nothing to each other. And about 2-3 hours later, we're driving back to Milwaukee, and we discussed it. And she saw the exact woman I did. Well, about 4 or 5 years after that, I'd opened up a store in town, and I was talking to a customer, and I told him the story. And within about 3 hours, a lady calls me back and starts yelling at me, telling me, what am I doing seeing her sister?
Wow.
Her sister got married there and then shortly died afterwards. And it kind of confirmed the whole story. You know, I wasn't so exactly sure what I saw. But after that, and then I go back to the restaurant, it's still a restaurant, and glasses move at night, they tell us and things. So I'm just curious how common this really is.
It's actually very common. You just couldn't even begin to imagine how many haunted restaurants and inns and hotels there are around the state and everywhere. It seems that, and theaters are another thing that are, they're very often commented upon as being haunted. What did you say this building was again in Tomahawk?
It's called Bootleggers now. It was Phil's Restaurant, and it was supposedly a gangster hideout back in the 20s and stuff, and it had tunnels that led out to the lake and
mm-hmm.
all that.
There are so many places, too, in Wisconsin that were known to be hideouts for either Dillinger or Al Capone. It's amazing to think that they could get around that much to fill all those places. I know in the Weird Wisconsin book, the original one, I have the story of the world's largest haunted farmhouse, which was reputed to be a hideout for Capone. He would usually, these places have little towers or good places for lookouts. Often there are tunnels that are said to be dug. I cover in Strange Wisconsin the story of Dillinger's hideout, which is really well known. And I think that's the shootout that's maybe being played. Is that what Johnny Depp is portraying right now?
In Little Bohemia?
In Little Bohemia, right. We have the story of Little Bohemia and the pictures of the bullets that are still preserved in the windows up there. So we were just riddled with gangsters, and it seems that just about wherever the gangsters had a hideout, there's now a ghost of some type.
Well, this one actually had a windmill on the road that was a lookout.
Mm-hmm.
It's a candy shop or ice cream shop now, but that's where the lookouts would stay to alert the people back in the resort if the cops were coming. So,
well,
very interesting.
If you get a chance, if you could email me this little story that you just told about your wife and yourself seeing this thing, I would love it. Just go to one of my websites and email in from those.
Certainly. Thank you.
All right, Kevin. Thanks very much. We appreciate your call. Our guest is Linda Godfrey, and she is a writer, illustrator, and the author of Strange Wisconsin, More Badger State Weirdness, published by Trails Books. She had a previous book where she was co-authoring with Richard Hendricks of the Weird Wisconsin. That was published by Barnes & Noble in 2005, and then she's come out with her Strange Wisconsin last year. And we're getting lots of interest in that today. Angie in Waukesha, let's go to you next. Hi, Angie.
Hello.
Hi, Angie.
Hi there. I was calling about the pyramid that's at the bottom of the lake in Lake Mills. Have you heard about that?
Yes. Yeah, there are actually supposed to be several structures down there, and the very big bone of contention is whether they are man-made or just some kind of geological formations. And I've read very good arguments on both. And they are supposed to be somewhat related to the Associated Park of Aztalan, which was a park that is one of my favorite places in Wisconsin to visit. It's partially restored, and there were kind of truncated pyramids, flat-top pyramids, that were built there in ancient times. And it's speculated that Lake Mills, that Rock Lake has these pyramids that extend down into the bottom of the lake. But it's a very tough lake for many reasons for divers to get a fix on. And although many expeditions have been made, the argument still goes on. So it's hard to say whether they're man-made or just forms of nature, one or the other. But Rock Lake is also supposed to have a lake monster in it that is affectionately named Rocky. And a really good local brew that's made there. It's called Rocky's Revenge, named after the lake monster.
Mm-hmm. Angie, thanks for your call. We had an email from Brian who wanted to know if you've heard about a strange church off Highway 50 east of Lake Geneva that some friends of mine in Northern Illinois told me about. I don't recall the full stories, but they said when they asked about this in Lake Geneva, no one wanted to talk about it.
They might be referring to a place called, it's called St. Killian's, and it's a place that I've actually investigated. It didn't make the book. It's the actual building is gone now. Part of the cemetery is there. You can see the foundation, but there were supposed to be different entities and ghosts appearing there, and I personally think that part of the legends arose from it because of the name Killian's. You know, it just sounds kind of weird and spooky.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty sure that that's the one he's talking about. It's way out in the country. It's not right off of 50. You have to do some driving around and know where it is in the back roads. But
mm-hmm.
that would probably be the one that he's referring to.
And have you put anything in your books about the ghosts that supposedly haunt the Grand Opera House in Oshkosh?
Oh, yes, yeah. I have quite a large section in the Strange Wisconsin book on Oshkosh. That whole downtown area is just rife with sightings. And the Grand Opera House was actually the site of a movie that was filmed there. And it was said that people who, the students that were making the picture, saw the ghosts, and it has all kinds of people being seen up in the balconies and behind the stage and everywhere else.
Mm-hmm. And someone else, Frank, wondered if you were thinking about the Grandview Park of Concrete Sculptures in Hollandale.
That was one of the ones I mentioned, is Nick's Grandview. That is very well featured in the Weird Wisconsin book.
Okay.
And, yeah, Hollandale is... that could have been the one that the former caller saw, but I don't think so because the Peace Park is still the one with the ship. But, yeah, the Hollandale sculptures, Nick's Grandview is very well represented in the Weird Wisconsin book.
And Dave in West Salem, what do we have for you?
Oh, well, thank you. I was calling to let you know the dinosaur sculpture on the interstate is really, it's old farm equipment that a gentleman pieced together to look like dinosaurs and then painted them. And he did a really nice job. I mean, they're pretty ferocious looking, and he did a very nice job. But I wanted to let you know that. And I live right next to the Hamlin Garland House in West Salem. And I have to tell you that the scariest thing that's happened to me is that my 6-year-old daughter at the time refused to sleep in her room anymore because she heard the stories about the Hamlin Garland House.
Oh.
So far, yeah, over about 15 years, it's been a very good neighbor, and we've not had any problems with old Hamlin coming out to bug us. But, you know, there is one thing I wanted to ask about, and this is a very tragic story now. But it has to do with the Mississippi River and that area by Riverside Park that you talked about previously with Hiawatha, that we have had a series of drownings. I think we're thinking with after binge drinking, young men have drowned there. But, you know, the first story about something similar to that happened in the 1870s with a Dr. Cameron, and it's kind of eerie because here's this noted physician. And he had been a state representative, a Civil War, a pretty heroic physician in the Civil War. And he walked in with a number of witnesses, walked into the Mississippi River and drowned. And it became a real controversy at the time. Was he really murdered? You know, did he just commit suicide? There was no rationale to suspect that he would do that. So there's been, you know, over the years, there's been a history of these drownings with males. And which always struck me as being a little weird.
It is odd. And, you know, the other weird thing about that is, and this is something I've been kind of studying, is that weird creatures are often seen in the same exact stretch of river from French Island, right on around. And one was the lizard man that I documented in the book on La Crosse. And then the most recent one that happened just about a year ago was a man and his son who saw what I call the man bat. And the La Crosse man bat and the lizard man are both featured in the Strange Wisconsin book. And I've since had another witness come forward and tell me about seeing what he thought was the same man bat wing type of thing on French Island that kind of terrorized him and one of his neighbors. So it strikes me odd. And I don't know, I don't even pretend to know what the connection, if there is one, might be. But it just strikes me odd that you've got all these drownings in the same site where you've got these strange, lizardy, leathery, winged type creatures being seen by different people.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, to me, it almost sounded like a siren kind of thing. You know, you wondered about that. But I work with mosquitoes and ticks, and I go out into that environment a lot. And I've enjoyed your books, but... Thanks a lot. No,
well,
I have
you.
To go out and worry about lizard men and bad winged creatures. And I'm in that environment at dusk a lot. We do a lot of bite surveys with mosquitoes. And now I have something else to think about. But I really have enjoyed your books. So.
Dave, thanks very
much.
We appreciate hearing from you. And let's see if we can get Beth into the conversation. Hi, Beth. Go ahead.
Good morning. There's little time. I'll be brief. You are awesome for these fantastic books you write.
Well, thank you.
Most of all, for your incredible, dynamic, good spirit.
Oh, thank you so much.
Now, to that end, I would like you to tell us, please, how did you get started with all this in the first place, and what is the most significant, weird, or strange thing that you first remember in your life?
And you don't get more than 30 seconds to tell the story.
I would say it all came out of the Beast of Bray Road story that was first a newspaper article, then became one of my first books. And that just sort of jump-started the whole thing.
Thanks very much, Beth. We appreciate your call. I'm sorry we can't get to more calls. We've been talking with Linda Godfrey of Elkhorn, Wisconsin, writer, illustrator, and investigator of offbeat and strange stories, including unknown or mystery animals, her latest work, Strange Wisconsin, More Badger State Weirdness, published by Trails Books. Again, thanks very much, Linda, for being with us this morning.
You're welcome. And I will be signing books on April 26th at the Alliant Energy Center from 6:30 to 9 p.m. for people who are coming to the Unexplained Conference there.
All right. And people can reach you at beastofbray, B-R-A-Y, road.com. I'm Jim Packard, and you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.